Okay, great. So welcome to a follow-up discussion around Department of Labor's fiduciary rule and associated processes. By and large, I want to congratulate everybody for not only following the process, but spending the time to document notes and be thoughtful about the submissions. As we've kind of looked at the submissions and looked at the process, there are a couple things that have come out of this observations, really. And it relates to how the diligence form is completed and interpreting not only the spirit of the rule, but some of the things that need to be covered. We've had a number of submissions that have come in where the retirement plan participant with the 401k or 403b has not been able to provide the required documents that actually disclose the fees. And the advisors have rightly pointed that out in their notes. They've said the participant doesn't have access to the overall fee structure of the plan, and therefore I'm not able to analyze the current versus proposed. We're just going to identify the advisory fee that the participant will pay by engaging the advisor for investment management services once the rollover is completed. And so, you know, the questions have come up, what do we do in those cases? And I think what the advisors have done has been great. They've identified the fact that they've asked for the documents, haven't been able to get it, and then have identified a comparison, essentially, of fees. In the spirit of the DOL rule, what the DOL is really looking at is they're looking at the internal investment expenses of the plan investments. So, for example, if somebody has a 401k plan and it's at John Hancock and it's not possible to get the underlying expenses of that, it's difficult for you to put that in. So what do we do about that? And so we want to sort of tailor this so that we do have the support and diligence under inspection that does not create more questions or result in a regulator contacting you to find out what you were thinking. So in these instances where you can't get the plan expenses, but you do have a statement from the participant with the underlying mutual funds, those need to go into the allocator as the current portfolio. And the recommendation that you make needs to go in as the proposed. Inside of the allocator, we have updated everybody's template to include a fee analysis page that shows the resultant portfolio, your proposed portfolio's underlying expenses. DOL submissions, rollover submissions, need to have the allocator proposal accompany the due diligence submission so that we can address the internal expense of the proposed in a concrete way. Each of those proposals needs to have a client signature, which you can get electronically via DocuSign. And that proposal needs to accompany the submission. Based on the notes and diligence evaluation, our observations is we're not going to survive an audit without the actual internal expense comparison. Advisors have done a great job identifying the fact that, for example, with additional assets, the overall advisory fee for the client relationship might go down. These are excellent notes. Everybody has done a great job, but we note that the actual internal expense comparison of what the client is actually paying for that greater diversification, there has to be that analysis done. And the way that we're going to do that is by doing a proposal. So we're updating this to make sure that you guys understand that a proposal has to be done with the current, if you can get a statement, or you can note that a current statement isn't available, and the proposed and the internal expenses of the proposed, which will show the advisory fee, the internal expenses. When the client signs off on that, there is no ambiguity that the diligence wasn't done. And so we want to make sure that we communicate this, that before you submit the form for approval, your first task is to go do a proposal, communicate the investment recommendation to the client, have the client acknowledge that, initial or signature, and then go into the hub and fill out the forms and attach that document for review. And so that's what I wanted to go over today, and I'll open up to any questions, either about the forms, the process, documentation, any questions you have, if you have any suggestions on how we can improve it, we're certainly open to discussing that. So Megan, do you want to have people put questions in the chat, and then essentially call on them to ask the question, or we certainly can take questions offline?
Yeah, whatever works. They can put it in the chat if they like.
So Mike Marino in our office, Mike's a CFA, he's a master allocator, will assist you if you have questions on, the proposal, how to create it, how to feed that data in if you want to do it electronically, or assistance with, helping you get the current portfolio inputted. Certainly, like don't send a statement to Mike and say, hey, Mike, do this work for me, because you as the advisor are the one that knows the client. You're the one that needs to determine how to allocate the client. So that advisory work is really yours to do. But in terms of walking through the process, making sure that the outputs, what we need, what you need to have for the client, Mike's available to help you with that.
Adam, go ahead and ask your question.
I just put it in the chat, but does this process apply to only group type 401k plans, or does it also apply to an individual self-employed with, say, like a solo 401k and them being the only member of the plan?
It does. What's interesting there is that, in an individual plan, whether it's a Schwab or TD, those individual plans are typically self-directed. And if you become the advisor on that self-directed plan, you can make any allocation changes within the plan without triggering DOL in the first place. So if it's possible to keep the plan and make the investments or take over that plan itself, there's none of this process is required in terms of the diligence or client rollover form, et cetera. It's not triggered.
Okay, thanks.
Similarly, if you have a participant that has a 401k, and that 401k, even if they leave separate from service and that 401k has a self-directed brokerage window, the plan cannot kick a participant out if they have $5,000 or more. They can't force the participant out. So if they have a self-directed brokerage window, you could come in and manage that self-directed brokerage account without triggering a rollover, without triggering DOL. So there are a number of things that, can be done potentially to avoid the need to go through this process. This process occurs when there's a participant in an employer-sponsored plan, an ERISA plan, that is rolling money out of the plan into an IRA that you manage, providing advisory services. That's the trigger.
And then, Monica, you can go ahead and ask your questions.
Okay, so my question was, is there a way to streamline this paperwork process for the client? Can we do the DOL forms first on the hub with an unsigned proposal prior to the client presentation? And then once approved, can we put the proposal along with the EACP and all the account opening forms in one document? Or do we set the expectation with the client that the forms to open the account, there will be separate steps?
You can open the account as the first step, but you can't cause the rollover or funding to happen until you have a signed proposal, right? So the whole point of DOL is that you, the advisor, have reviewed the investment options in the current plan, and the client has reviewed your proposal with respect to investment and internal costs, as well as advisory fees. And the client has accepted that, signed off on the proposal. Then you can submit the DOL forms. You cannot submit the DOL forms without a signed proposal. All of this is digital, right? So if the client has an existing 401k, you can use the allocator to construct that current. You can then build your proposed, provide that to the client for signature, and then go submit the DOL forms. You cannot submit the DOL forms with a blank signed proposal. It will be rejected.
Okay. So in the event,
the advisor has to do the investment work first before they do the administrative work.
Correct. So as an example, right now we have a client who we've done a proposal for, we've presented it, and the client's approved it. We just don't have a signature on it yet. So this client is also someone who wants paper copies. So I just will print it from the allocator, mail it, she'll hand sign it. Then we upload it with the DOL form to the hub. Then we can send her over all of the paperwork for establishing the account and all the investments, correct?
It's true. I mean, I hope that the clients like that are few and far between and reducing a number for everybody, right? That's the outlier these days where somebody is demanding, you know, a paper copy. I guess, you know, in a sense of somebody who demands paper, you can certainly put everything together in a single packet, including the proposal and the account opening form, and concurrently get that signed and sent back. There's no issue with that. So you don't have to send two packets out, one with the proposal signed, get that back, then send the other stuff out. You know, but my hope is for everybody that the clients that demand, you know, paper copies are really in the minority. But yeah, that sounds like a pain in the butt. But that's what has to happen.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions, Megan, that have come through the chat?
Nope, that was all.
Okay. I hope everybody has a great day. Certainly open to discussing individual questions. If you have a rollover, you know, you want to talk this through before anybody in compliance, reach out to John, myself, Corey, Mike. We're happy to walk through it with you. Everybody has done a fantastic job with this, and it is it is an indication of kind of how the regulatory landscape is shifting. And, you know, I think everybody has done a really, really good job, and appreciate everybody's time today. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a good day, everybody.